All right. Well, wrapping up the show with what I thought was going to be the third and certainly not least of the women organization leaders who have graced our program this morning. But now I'm pleased to have four of them. Two will be joining us this morning. Regular listeners know the voice of Maria Kuten Skinner, who is with the McCall Behavioral Health Center. And we're also pleased to welcome the organization's chief medical officer, Joy Pendola, this morning. We're going to be talking about a very serious subject, taking the best care we possibly can of our children and adolescents and teens. We're going to talk about this this epidemic of suicide that we're seeing in the greater Waterbury area, and the great news that McCall is bringing the power of their adolescent and child services through Joy Pendola and her team to Waterbury, a recent addition to their programs and supports in the greater Waterbury area. We'll jump into the conversation, but we want to ask an important question. Why wait for resolutions? You can give yourself a holiday season gift right now of a smoke-free life. Griffin Health offers education, advice, and support to help individuals prepare to quit smoking with an upcoming session of their free tobacco and nicotine cessation program. That's it. Learn to quit. This highly successful program teaches a variety of methods to help individuals quit smoking over the course of 6 weekly meetings. There are afternoon and evening sessions being offered at the Center for Cancer Care at Griffin Hospital in Derby on Mondays beginning January 13th. The goal is to help individuals learn how to stop using tobacco without guilt, shame, and fear of failure by teaching several different methods of quitting and managing nicotine withdrawal. Participants must be prepared to attend all 6 sessions. That's the only caveat. And of course, you need to register. So if you want to do that, you can go to griffinhealth.org/tobacco-cessation. All right. So now the great news about great assets and supports for young people and adolescents in Greater Waterbury with our friends from McCall Behavioral Health Network. That organization has been serving Waterbury with a number of services and now bring this new issue to the fore. We've seen some incredible statistics, disturbing statistics, Maria and Joy, as I was reminded by your organization. Over the past 10 years, 433 young people committed suicide in the greater Waterbury area. And today, about 30%, 31% of children under 18 below the poverty level lack access to affordable mental health care options. So there's huge waiting lists, there's staffing issues, and a lack of capacity. We're going to talk about how McCall is answering the call to that with our guests. So, Maria, if you don't mind, let's hear a little bit about Joy. Joy, welcome to the program. Tell our listeners a little bit about yourself.
Oh, sure. My name is Joy Pendola, and I'm the Chief Clinical Officer of McCall. I'm a licensed marriage and family therapist and licensed alcohol and drug counselor. Entering 2025, it'll be my 27th year in the field, and I've worked extensively in private nonprofits, working with folks of all age groups with co-occurring disorders, both substance use and mental health. My direct care work, in large part, did very much have to do with treating adolescents and their families with both substance use and mental health issues.
Excellent. Joy is part of the growing team at McCall who has helped deliver the organization the honor of the 7th year in a row of being recognized as one of Connecticut's top workplaces. But we left Maria for the second introduction because she has also been recognized for her work with the organization with a top leadership award. Maria, congratulations. What a team you have, and probably only made better by a leader like yourself.
Well, that's so kind. Thank you, John. Yeah, it is. It's a special honor to be able to lead an organization that, you know, really sees the humanity in every single person who, you know, kind of graces our doorstep. And the staff are just filled with compassion and skill and a deep commitment to the communities that we serve. So it's a very special honor and privilege to lead McCall.
Yeah. So what a statistic, nearly 50 on average, almost 50 suicides a year of young people over the past decade in the greater Waterbury area. Tell us how statistics like this helped motivate your organization to make the decision to spread your very effective child and adolescent services to greater Waterbury.
Yeah, so I'm going to I'll start, but I'm going to ask Joy to get into some of the detail.
Sure.
There. So, you know, I am a licensed clinical social worker, and for much of my career before I stepped into administration, I was doing a lot of work with children and families. And so that's something that's very near and dear to my heart. And we're seeing these very alarming statistics, and they tell kind of a tip of the iceberg story of just where our kids are in terms of their mental health and their feeling connected to their schools, their communities, and each one of those children is attached to a family system that is also probably struggling. And so we one of the things that we're deeply committed to is looking at broader systems that impact the individual and making sure that our services treat not only the whole person who's sitting across from us, but also look at healing the systems around them. And so when we were looking at these numbers and looking at our capacity to be able to help them, we built a clinic and a way of being able to treat whole person and whole systems that, you know, I'm going to ask Joy to get into a little bit more deeply on the clinical side. But that's where we see where we've rolled these programs out before. That's where we see real sustainable healing and that kids can feel good. They, you know, they like this is a joyful season that we're in. And so laughter and being able to feel comfortable in your home and honestly in your own skin and with your thoughts and that you can feel safe and comfortable going to school because you've got the skills and tools that you need. That's the kind of healing that we want to help to facilitate through these programs in Waterbury now.
Great. Joy, talk some more about your team and how you're integrating into Waterbury, what you saw as the move and the decision was being made to expand services into this area, and how you're going to move into 2025 trying to tackle and reel back these incredibly disturbing statistics about youth suicide in the Waterbury area.
Sure. I mean, there are clearly, you know, great needs and great needs across the board. I think in more general terms and for the purposes of what programming and services we've created, there's quite a gap between kind of traditional individual or outpatient services and then very acute, you know, hospital stays and residential programs. Those higher levels of care are very, very few and far between. And a lot of kids do have more intensive needs, and that's where there's a real gap in services. And so we have really catered our adolescent services to meet that gap and provide intensive outpatient services that have an array of, as Maria pointed out, whole person, curriculums and approaches. And that really is intensive outpatient. That's meets three times a week for 3 hours a week for several weeks until an adolescent is ready and able to step down to a lower level of care. During those weeks, we have groups where we use evidence-based practices that deal with depression, anxiety, suicide ideation, self-harm behavior, substance use, you name it. We've really catered all of our curriculum to really meet the needs of any adolescent walking through our door. We also do medication management and include the family in that. We do family sessions. We do individual sessions. So we really do look at the entire child's life involve school, involve, you know, anybody else related to the individual and the family system to really, you know, work with that whole system and the healing begin. We see a need across the board for this, but particularly since we do serve the greater Waterbury area, particularly in Waterbury, there are plenty of services in Waterbury, but again, those intermittent levels of care are few and far between, and they could be really the difference from, you know, an adolescent going into a crisis situation and could really lead to some long-term stability. So we've had these services in place in Torrington for a few years now. We've seen very good outcomes, and we plan on replicating that moving into 2025 in Waterbury.
Well, you know, parents and caregivers kind of out of their own survival instincts need to keep telling themselves, that's not going to happen to my kid. But, you know, having you both on the program and knowing your record of success in terms of addressing and combating substance issues, Joy, generally across the population, you know, 10 to 25 in age, what's the proportion of individuals you're lucky enough to catch before they harm themselves and get them into the program? What's the proportion of those individuals that have a co-occurring substance issue?
It does vary. We do anticipate that we'll probably see more co-occurring in Waterbury than we have in Torrington, but I would say that it easily is probably 50%. And I'm glad you mentioned that age group, because the likelihood of, you know, an earlier intervention may actually stop the progression of a co-occurring disorder or one even being established, meaning if we're able to treat a mental health condition, you know, at the age of 15, that could end up leading to preventing a development of a substance use disorder down the road.
Yeah. Well, we'd probably be doing a disservice to anyone listening by not reminding them that, you know, suicide and ideations and self-harm are things that kids, sadly, are starting to think about now in elementary school. So, parents need to be on the lookout. There's always these situations that are so tragic where there were warning signs, but the thought was, oh, they're too young, or, you know, oh, they'll just get through it. But there's also the greater challenge and tragedy when we hear from people who say, you know, my son was so happy. My daughter had so much going for her. They had so many friends. They were so involved in school and social life. They never saw it coming. How do you speak to parents in terms of, you know, sort of the pre-denial that's baked in the cake with a lot of these people who seemingly see their children on a great path and with great friends and a great life, but who are still at risk for suicide?
I think one of the things that we talk a lot about with parents, even on the upstream prevention measures, and this goes for everybody listening to the radio program who has kids or grandkids, is create spaces where conversation happens. And every conversation doesn't have to be deep and probing. But if you're having dinner together at least 4 or 5 nights a week, or you're in the car and the child doesn't have their headphones on or doesn't have their screen in front of them, and they're in conversation, and that could be about anything and everything, but creating those intentional places where you have opportunities to check in, that you're, you know, sharing about your life and you're asking them to share about theirs, and you're creating open, non-judgmental spaces for conversation, you will have the pulse on how your child is doing. And then when you start to get that feeling where you're worried about them. One of the things that happens, even in present-day society, where we've done a lot of work to destigmatize mental health in particular, substance use less so, but what we do is we wait. We talk to our friends and family and say, are you seeing this in your child? And what we, the message that we keep saying is, please don't wait. Call us. Like, and that is something that I really want to destigmatize. It doesn't mean you're a bad parent if your child is struggling and if they need to see a therapist. It's one of the bravest and most critical things you can do as a parent is to open that door, and you can walk through it with them and say, this is, you know, if you had a broken arm, we would bring you to the doctor. Mm. If going to school is hard, or if it feels like you're lonely a lot of the times, let's just go get a screening and figure out what's going on.
Yeah.
And a lot of times providers are not skilled at being able to also pick up if somebody is using marijuana or drinking, but we can do that. And so just call us and we'll walk you through it. And we want to let you know that, like, waiting is not something that we would encourage. The earlier the intervention, the better.
And that advice brings us to the end of our conversation for this morning. Maria and Joy, take the next 30 seconds or so to remind people how they can get in touch with you.
Go for it, Joy.
We have a main number that we triage every call through. So it is 860-496-2100. Also, there's our website, mccallbhn.org, that you could also contact us and get more information.
Very good. Also, if anyone's listening and they currently are in crisis or know someone who is, you can also reach out to 988, the National Suicide and Crisis Prevention Line. But we would certainly like you to get in touch with McCall's, especially if you're in the greater Waterbury area, because now they have recently expanded their child and adolescent services to the Waterbury office on West Main Street. The McCall Behavioral Health Network specializes in helping individuals heal from substance use disorders, mental health disorders, or both. They focus on the person's emotional and behavioral health, and together build stronger and more resilient communities throughout Connecticut. Now, again, bringing these services to Waterbury. Their president and CEO, Maria Kutant-Skinner, a regular guest here on the program, and our new friend, Joy Pendola, their chief medical officer. Best of the holidays to both of you and your entire team over there at McCall. Thank you so much.